Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One of them was a model. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's good to have you back. I'm Marcus and I'm joined by Jim.
Hello.
And Luke.
All right.
Pete's not here.
Still in San Fran.
Still on holiday.
He's somewhere in California, I think. He's driving around.
Mm-hmm. He's on his way to Vegas, isn't he?
Like a roustabout. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where he is.
Driving on a Segway.
I'm sure
giving his girlfriend a piggyback, I would imagine, all the way. Just because that's weird.
He said he'd stay in touch, but he hasn't.
No.
Well, I'm sure he's having a lovely time.
People move on, don't they?
People,
they grow up and they change.
He'll be back next week, listeners. Don't you worry. Now, we're going to begin by saying that the Grand National, the big horse race, took place on the weekend.
A couple of horses died.
Nice one, Jim.
Well, they did. it's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm not laughing at the horses dying.
No. So that was funny.
Enough.
So which player would you like to see dead? No, that's not it.
It's worth noticing, in what could be a terrifying premonition for Man United, that Alex Ferguson's horse choked, didn't he? Like, bottled it two things before the end, I think.
Arsenal fan trying to put a really difficult narrative in there. No, it's not happening.
No, well, I'm just pointing it out.
Time to wrestle it back. Which players... or which player do you think would make a good jockey? James, who would you like to see on a horse, footballer-wise?
Given that he was very small and very fast himself,
yes.
I don't know why this would, kind of affect the horse.
Well, he'd show an example to the horse.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how fast you run.
Mark Overmars. Very, very nippy little legs, which he could then use to quickly kick the horse in the side, which I believe helps them run fast. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Don't really understand horse riding.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think he'd be good at it.
But he might just want to do horse racing in the garden with his son rather than a Grand National.
Yeah, that's true. And also, he'd probably get kind of caught up in, bamboozling other horses. If Des Walker was on a horse, do you know what I mean? Just try and confuse him until he fell off.
I don't think horse racing is that big in Holland,
Well, we don't know that, do you?
We don't know. We haven't
done
any research.
Never looked into it.
It's very flat, Holland, so you never know.
Yeah, probably quite good for it.
Luke?
My rationale would be that to be a jump jockey... because it's the Grand National you're talking about, you've got to be very brave.
Yes.
Small, as Jim said. And it helps if you're
Dutch.
I've noticed it helps if you're Irish.
Right.
So
Stephen Hunt.
Andy Reid fails on one of those points. So I'll probably go for Stephen Hunt.
Stephen Hunt.
Mm. Yeah, Stephen Hunt. Small enough. Very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
I can imagine Irish. Stephen Hunt naked on a horse, just like living wild in Ireland.
And that flat cap on that he had interview that time. Yeah.
He does look like a man that just lives in a bog. And he probably would have tamed the local horses. So that works.
Local horses. Just in the pub. Right?
No, in the bog.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's wild. He doesn't go to pubs.
Yeah, they couldn't drag him away. I'm going to go for Paolo Maldini.
Okay.
Because he was excellent at jockeying people.
Oh, that is terrible.
He'd come third in that race.
Yeah.
Not sure between Hunt and Overmars.
What about Jeff Horsfield? Ambushed. Got you, didn't I, James?
That's a player I would keep a horse in.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Pat Nevin.
Why?
Little, small. Intelligent.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's only at the corners.
Zola. Mm. Zola looks like a horse.
He's a bit equine, isn't he?
Horse might get confused and jump on his back.
I often notice when you watch the Grand National or any sort of race meet on television, how many people, well, I'm going to say people. I mean,
silly hats are there.
I mean women that look like horses.
Yeah, it's just weird, isn't it?
Very horsey people.
Yeah.
What about Neville Southall?
He doesn't take
carrying the horse.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, James, go on. Have the points,
brilliant.
Old sport.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. You won't get your hat-trick. I'll see to that.
Well, you're unfit for purpose, as we've discussed many times.
He is.
Yeah. Try and take me down.
He just got re-elected as points giver. Unopposed.
Mm.
just the way I like it. Now then, in the Premier League, my goodness, what a weekend for great goals.
Yeah, it has been, isn't it?
There was loads. Phil Neville even got one.
Yeah, there was a little montage of Phil Neville goals on Match of the Day too, and he scored that same goal loads of times. Yeah. He very rarely scores, but when he does, it's that one.
I remember he scored the winner at Stamford Bridge once, a number of seasons ago at Manchester United. Well, okay, well, we'll start with Wolves versus Everton. Neville himself, after the game, said he was a bit annoyed because Billy Aledinov went and scored
an
even better goal.
He's got a left foot like a traction engine.
Yeah.
That was an absolute peach.
Oh, Phil Neville's goal would have been... I felt really sorry for Wayne Hennessy, who made loads of really good saves. Yeah. And he made a really good save before Phil Neville scored. And he must have just been like, oh, God.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah. No, Neville's goal was better than Billy Yetdenov, though. The Russian man's goal was great, right? But it's just the way... It was pinpoint. It was like a sniper's shot, the Phil Neville one. I just found it more aesthetically pleasing.
And the camera was behind it, so you got a better look at it.
You're listening to your heart there.
Yeah, I am listening to my heart.
Yeah. You know? And sometimes that's not always a bad thing. Mm. Romance isn't dead.
Depends who you are.
Well, yeah, true. Wolves, I said this before, I've said it again, the unluckiest team in the league.
Yeah, they are. I think it's because they've got the most downtrodden man in the world as their manager. He just brings it upon them.
Yeah, he's
don't even hear words when he talks anymore. It's just sad noises.
Another post-match interview.
Mick McCarthy's one of those people that when you meet them and you don't know them that well, or you work with them or whatever, you see them and you say to them, "All right, how are you doing?" And it's clearly not an open question. You know, it's a rhetorical question. Yes. Just passing time away.
You've not really thought about it yourself.
No, you just say it, and you say, "All right, Mick, how are you doing?" And they go, "Oh, pretty bloody shit, actually."
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, he's got, oh, I've got this now, I've got to see it out.
He's opened that dialogue.
Yeah, and he'll turn up.
He'll keep bringing this up now.
His shoulders will always be hunched and he'll be like, that's probably why.
Perhaps the highlight of the whole weekend, though, it wasn't a goal, was it, James? It was a goalkeeper. Jens Lehmann starting for Arsenal.
Did well.
Yeah.
Did
save the one-on-one.
Yeah, he did really excellently at the end.
Yeah.
Almunia would have, I don't know, exploded if the one-on-one
ball would have gently got in. Blackpool won Arsenal 3.
Mm.
Jens said to the referee before the game, "You have to protect pensioners in the box."
Yeah, he's already started the mind games. Jimmy, you said when Lehmann first signed, and we laughed a little bit, you said, "Don't worry, if all goes to plan, he won't even need to play."
Yeah, I know, if all goes to plan. But he was that we knew, didn't we? We even acknowledged in the show that he would
end. I think Arsenal knew.
What are Arsenal on? Plan F now?
Yeah. Plan Jens.
It's
beyond the alphabet.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the things with emergency goalkeepers and stuff, I sort of almost think,
I love an emergency goalkeeper.
Especially if it's him.
I'd like to ban it. I don't think it should be allowed.
Shut up.
And you've got youth team keepers. We
said this before about City, didn't we?
Although the difference,
everyone wins.
Yeah,
difference with City was they had a senior goalkeeper, didn't they? They just didn't think he was good enough.
Which is absolutely
That's poor. That's poor. You couldn't do that with strikers.
Well, James, Arsenal have got James Shea,
he's 19 years old. I think if he's a youth player, it's a bit different. He's never been in the first team squad. He's very much a youth side player.
Same age as Wilshere. That's all I'm saying. Just putting it out there. But Lehmann, Gary Taylor Fletcher basically stopped Jens Lehmann giving away a penalty and getting sent off.
Yeah, that's true.
Excellent refereeing in that, because Wilshere was rightly booked for a foul in the build up to that. And Lee Mason let it go on and then let that go as well.
Yeah,
he handled that really, really well.
That's very true. I did think to myself, Jens is off here.
It was a definite pen as well.
Yeah, would have been. And it's like Lehmann had time to go, could foul him here.
Yeah, I think I will. It's good to be back.
It might not be the Champions League final, but I'm still going to do it. They didn't have a keeper on the bench, did they?
No, they wouldn't have been able to.
Van Persie said, they said, oh, if you know, I mentioned something in the post-match interview with Van Persie and Lehmann, and it got round to talking about goalkeepers, and Van Persie said, oh, I'm a decent keeper, I'd have gone in goal sort of thing.
We need you up front.
But surely,
for more than three games a season.
Yeah. But surely a 19-year-old lad, they should have stuck him on the bench.
No, but it was because Almunia got injured in the warm-up, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So Lehmann only started late on because Almunia hurt his knee in the warm-up,
A part of me really regrets that he never got sent off.
Yeah.
That was a funny old game,
you weren't
actually
the ref, mate, were you? So there's no, you couldn't have had any bearing on it.
No. I'm not the ref.
I do wonder if Jens had like a little voodoo doll just before the match.
Possibly.
Sticking pins in whatever Almunia
injured. I don't think he needs to. I just think that there's some sort of universal thing where if they get near each other, they have a...
Jens
some,
wins.
Yeah. Something happens, there's a friction, and Almunia invariably comes off worse.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's psychologically or physically.
Weirdly, it's the same with Khan and Lehman. It's like Lehman's taking out all his frustration from Oliver Khan on Almunia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And after the game, Jens Lehman said the post-match interview mentioned that he got a really sort of good response from the Arsenal fans. He was like, yeah, I was really happy and surprised about that. It shows they haven't forgotten me. It's like, Jens, we are never going to forget you, mate.
Yeah.
No one's going to forget
you. It was a
funny
old game because first sort of 15 or 20 minutes, Blackpool really dominated. Then Arsenal went up and scored. But it was weird because if you look at on paper, 3-1 looks like a routine win, but it wasn't quite a routine
two
win.
Two big penalty shouts for Blackpool as well.
Absolutely.
And I thought the third goal from Arsenal was quality from the whole side there. Skilacci made a great tackle. Diaby retained the ball really well. He had one of his better days as well, and hopefully he can kind of keep that going. And then Fabregas' flick onto Walcott, and Walcott's early release to Van Persie, which is great. Excellent in every area of the pitch there. And that's the killer instinct Arsenal have lacked a lot of the time. And you know, Blackpool do ship goals, and you know, without meaning to patronise them, you know, it wasn't, you know, the sternest challenge Arsenal will face
about
this season. They've let in a lot.
The statistics bear it out.
You've missed out a Aubameyang man's goal.
You're the anchor, mate.
Okay. Aubameyang man scored.
Yeah. With his left, it was an absolute rocket as well, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Great.
Thrashed it in.
Lovely little move as well.
I was going to bring this up to you, Jim, but actually, I was talking to Marcus about it earlier. A couple of the newspapers today said they referred to United as champions elect, right? Arsenal were 7 points behind with a game in hand, and they still play at United at the Emirates.
Yeah,
it's not over yet.
It's not. It's a big ask. As we've said before, though, I think it's because Arsenal have had so many collapses this season. If they can put together a real strong run in,
Arsenal have got to go away to Spurs, don't they?
Yeah, and we've still got to play Liverpool at the Emirates as well. So it's tough. But I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? From a neutral point of view, unless you support Spurs, I would think. Like
if Arsenal can get it, you're arguably not a neutral.
Yeah, well, indeed. But if you could get if it went, you know, to the point where Arsenal were 1 point behind with a few games to go, it'd be great.
Oh, you would never know. The relegation run-in's it's very heated.
It
would need heating up. And West Bromwich Albion got a brilliant win away to Sunderland, 3-2. Hodgson and West Brom seem to have clicked.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
Give Hodgson his due, because, I mean, he's playing with Di Matteo's squad.
Yeah.
He's not signed anyone.
Yeah.
And he's steered them to at so many
they're
points.
They're
still unbeaten, aren't they, under him?
Is it
in the league, certainly.
They are unbeaten.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
There's 8 points separating the bottom 11 teams, and Sunderland are in free fall.
Yeah.
Absolute free fall.
Woeful. The Man City game last week when they were beaten 5-0, Man City, it wasn't like they were busting a gut or anything. Do you know what I mean? They strolled to a 5-0.
Yeah.
Sunderland haven't won a game, I don't think, since the middle of January.
Well, Sunderland are really struggling. But West Brom, great winner from Sharna. I counted 12 passes before that.
Get on that.
And that had, to me, that move, it just had sort of Hodgson seal all over it.
Yeah.
Bardsley scored a great goal in that game as well. But did you see when Hodgson shook hands with Steve Bruce at the end? You could just see him mouth, sorry, Steve.
He
shook his hands, yeah.
You can look at the game when Sunderland beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in the middle of November, it was, and their form since then has been very patchy. And since January, they've not won a game.
Well, without Ben,
you know,
they've struggled. But you think Jan scored goals.
They've picked up, they've got players to cover for Ben. It just seems to me that
Ben is lethal, though.
True, yeah. He didn't score against Newcastle, though. I mean, he could arguably should. Well, yeah, there's a goal disallowed, though. Yeah. It shouldn't have been disallowed.
What about Daniel Sturridge?
Yeah, he
two great goals from him.
He's been absolutely superb for Bolton, hasn't he? Absolute revelation for them.
Bolton 3, West Ham.
6-8 he's got, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. But while we were on the subject of Sunderland, have you heard that there's a fan that's suing the club? Because he was hit by a stray ball. It was a shot. Gibril Cissé shot and it hit him. Apparently knocked him out.
In a training session?
It was in a training session, though.
But Cissé hasn't played for Sunderland for two years.
Some time. Do you think Ashley Cole heard about that? Got the wrong end of the stick and decided to go one better a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm not having that. Yeah. Cissé's not... I mean, because he must have been injured for quite some time if he's only just woken up. That's 2 years ago.
Well, no, but these things take ages, though, don't they? The legal processes. Even if it's ridiculous.
So. Which it is.
Yeah, it clearly is.
Emphatically is.
You're spot on there. We've got to talk about Kroenke in the Arsenal takeover, James.
Yeah, we have. I don't know if it's actually gone through yet. I know Alisher Usmanov still needs to decide whether to sell his shares or not at the time of recording. Yeah. But it does look like it's very likely, doesn't it? And I think people seem not happy about it as such, but not dismayed by it, because Kroenke's got a history in sport. He owns, I think, four other sports teams, one an MLS side. He's notorious for actually listening to the experts on things as well.
He's also got a good relationship with the Arsenal Supporters Trust.
Yeah, and he steers a steady ship, it seems to be. It doesn't look as if Arsenal's model will change a lot. And he's very tight-lipped, as Arsenal are as well.
And hairy-lipped as well.
And very hairy-lipped as well. Yeah. And it's tough to know what he's going to do, really. But I do wonder if there'll be sort of funds available for players and stuff, because he's not said anything about that. I don't know if there'll be like a war chest or anything.
He doesn't say an awful lot.
He's known as Silent Stan, isn't he? Yeah. It's Randy Lerner-esque by the looks of it.
But Arsenal's a funny club in that way, because they've had people who have been like custodians who've looked after them for so many generations, and now Hillwood.
They call them custodians, don't they? That's very much the language they use.
And Hillwood and Lady Bracewell Smith, is that her name? Is going to stand down as well, because they're not going to take the club forward, I don't think. But, you know, in a way, Kroenke has got to do sort of business as usual, because the UEFA financial fair play rules in a couple of years, so he can't just chuck in money all over the place. Yeah.
But that's very much a positive thing.
They've obviously backed him over Usmanov. That's basically the decision they've made, isn't it? Because Usmanov has got more money, but he's not got any football or experience, any sporting experience.
There's been a lot of kind of shady insinuations about him as well in the press, and I don't really.
And he's jowly.
You don't like that.
On looks, you'd go for Kroenke.
Well, yeah. Marcus spearheaded a very successful campaign, which was keep jowly men out of the public eye.
Yeah.
Well, out of football, actually.
Yeah.
Out of the public eye, you've got politicians.
Really. Yeah, true, yeah.
Yeah, Sam Allardyce is gone. Yeah. It took a while for us to get rid
Mike
of him.
Mike Ashley's still around.
Yeah.
In the background.
But he's less prominent now. I think, well done, mate. I don't think you got the credit you deserved.
Yeah, very good.
You just got me to go.
But you're on a diet now.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Again, my influence. Maybe I'll become a jowly man myself.
I hope not. That would be a tragic irony.
Yeah. Well, tragic?
I'd have to look at it.
Very true. Another great goal on the weekend was Matthew Etherington's goal for Stoke.
I enjoyed his goal at the weekend.
Did you?
Mm.
What did I say?
On the weekend.
Well, either works. Yeah. Spurs, good win. Well, was it a good win? I mean, they were quite fortunate, perhaps.
Yeah, but
Peter Crouch said that he hopes his two goals against Stoke goes back some way towards paying
ruining
back.
The Champions League.
I'm not sure about that.
If they somehow win you the league through some strange loophole no one's ever noticed before, then maybe. But otherwise,
if
that was nuts, wasn't it?
Let's just go five against Madrid. If he scores a glut against Madrid,
that is unlikely. I'll give you any odds you want.
Yeah. I do wonder if there are any Spurs fans that still think they can turn.
Would they take a 5-1 win?
They'll probably. Spurs will probably win 4-1. Do you know what I mean?
I said to Marcus on the way here, and I'll repeat it now for the benefit of our listeners. If Spurs go through, I mean, anything you want me to do, I'll do.
Okay, we're making that official.
There's no chance it's going to happen. I'll tell you, on a more serious note, it was good to see Huddersfield back against Stoke. Everton scored a great goal, but Modric's goal was excellent as well.
It was a lovely one.
And Kevin Jones' goal was really good.
It was
a good weekend for goals, wasn't it? It's another one of those weekends where you just think back to Andy and Richard and just go. You'd have loved this.
Well, Richard Keane is saying top styles on TalkSport.
In the Championship, QPR were beaten 4-1 away at Scunthorpe, who were in the relegation zone.
Is that one coming?
Unbelievable.
No. In fact, that messed up an accumulator along with most of the other results, didn't it?
For you or for a lot
for
of
me.
People?
Okay. Probably for a lot of people, I would think.
Well, I'd imagine so too. Nottingham Forest lost again, this time at home to Reading. Forest are the eighth now, I think. They're out of the playoffs.
Plummeting.
But Reading.
On a great run.
Reading unbeaten in 10. Won their last 6.
Heston Blumenthal's manager.
Otherwise known as Brian McDermott. They look as though they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah. Which is important. Like, whatever you're in.
Yeah. Life in general.
Yeah.
Swansea beat Norwich 3-0. That was a big
result. Did you see Tomas Priskin's final goal for Swansea?
I have to be honest and say
The keeper came out. He shouldn't have really come out. It was a bit of a 50-50, and the ball popped out past him, and Priskin was just to tap it into an empty net.
Oh, right.
And a defender ran behind him. And Priskin tapped it in and went off to celebrate. But before he could get to this fans to start celebrating, the defender just really cheap just tripped him up. They were to celebrate or complain to the ref.
Yeah.
So he sort of did a bit of both. Then they just ended up going back to the centre circle.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
My goodness. Right in the Blue Square Premier League, it's been decided. Well, it's not decided, it's been won, rather. And Crawley Town have done it. They're promoted to the Football League for the first time. They're 14 points clear.
Plucky Crawley Town.
Of second place, AFC Wimbledon, with a game in hand.
It's a miracle. Mm. Oh, what a plucky team.
Yeah.
That have spent more than every single League Two club put together this season.
Ooh.
Yeah, get on that, fact fans.
Yeah. Well, is it true? $250,000 they spent on the strikers?
$500,000 they spent total.
Do you begrudge them that massively?
Well, I don't think it's the fans' fault. I think that Steve Evans, who manages them, is a bit of a prat.
Yep.
To put it mildly, I think he's taken his medicine at Boston United. He served his time, but he's not the most agreeable chap in my opinion. No. But you know, fair play to them. They've gone up, they've done it, and see how they get on next season.
But would you give it the big one if Manchester City won the league this year?
Would I give it the big one? No, probably not, no.
But it's the same thing.
Oh, would I give it the big one? Well, look, as Doug Leach recently said, you know, no team has ever won anything without spending at least some money. Mm. My point is, the narrative that is also, or often sort of spun...
Lottery. Spend a quid, didn't
you? Yeah, well, of course you did.
Not much, though. Everyone can afford that.
It's not a team...
If I may,
you're in one of those work syndicate things. Sorry,
if I may,
you may,
and you could get away with that without putting your pound in, and then someone would go, oh, "Don't worry about it, we won it." So actually, Luke, that's almost certain to have happened.
He's getting annoyed.
He's not happy.
Go on, say it.
The narrative that's been spun, the story that's weaved initially, not so much now in the quality newspapers, is that Crawley, well done, first time in their history or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the reality of the situation is they spent an absolute shedload of money. Now I understand that the owner or the co-owner. Died recently, and he was a big Crawley Town fan all his life. I understand that, but the point is, it was hardly a level playing field.
The golf is greater down there as well.
Yeah, and absolutely, it is, of course. But the other thing, in addition to that, I'm not blaming them for that. But what I'm saying is, Steve Evans doesn't carry himself with any class whatsoever.
No.
So it makes it particularly a bitterish pill to swallow, especially for the other teams around him.
Particularly AFC Wimbledon, who are below them.
Yeah, who are 14 points or something below them.
Yeah.
You know? But that's why it's not being celebrated. That's why when Crawley drew Manchester United at Old Trafford in the FA Cup, normally all the non-league fans club around teams and say, brilliant, it'd be great to see them do well. Yeah. No one did that, and there's a good reason for that.
No, I understand that. Completely, and I would err on the same side as that, as saying it is a bit of a shame that they've absolutely roasted it. But ultimately, they've got money, they've spent it, they've absolutely hammered the league.
Oh, begin. Yeah.
Sadly, that's the way.
See how they get on next season. Definitely,
yeah. That's the way it is. In Serie A, where people don't splash the cash,
they do, but just sometimes in the wrong areas.
It's not their cash,
shall we say?
Zlatan was sent off again.
Oh God!
This time he was having naughty words with the linesman.
He released a video on 442, the 442.com, this performance side of their website where they interview players and stuff. And one of them was Zlatan, and it was like a forwards masterclass or something.
Yeah,
and it was like he said something.
Was it just be me?
Well, last week, no, it was like only last week, and it was something like, "Oh, I always try and shield the ball at all times, and defenders will try and kick you, but you must keep your head."
Well, yeah, but this was the linesman he was having a go at. Mind you, he did get sent off for hitting one of the other players.
That was a couple of weeks ago. It was two bookings this week, and one of them was a bit of verbal, wasn't it?
Mm. Although I think he's got a 3-match ban, though, they're trying to appeal.
Yeah, he was instrumental in Seydorf's goal, which was great.
Beautiful. Seydorf,
he's great take.
Ever young, he is.
Yeah.
Well, he's...
How old is he now?
35,
yeah, he is.
He's in talks with a possible move to Corinthians in Brazil.
I still think he's got another year or two in him.
Well, with the whole Milan lab, which I'm sure a lot of listeners will remember us talking about, where Milan just have this incredible medical department where they just get the best out of their players. It's no coincidence that so many Milan players have gone on to play for so many years. I mean, would he not be shortening his career, potentially, by moving away from Milan? Is he not going to get that treatment elsewhere?
Well, that's true. I mean, I wouldn't imagine. I don't want to be stereotypical or unfair to Brazilian club football, but I don't think he'd get the treatment he gets at Milan, no way.
True, but maybe he's thinking Milan have got some youngsters coming through. He's been there for a long time. He's
fancy
achieved everything
challenge.
There.
It would be great to see a big name European player go over to South America.
This is what I was saying when Henri went to the New York Red Bull. I just thought that I love the fact that Seedorf's in talks with Corinthians. Why not go there? Or maybe Argentina or somewhere like that. I think it's a brilliant thing. I totally understand why someone will go to the MLS. Absolutely. But I think that would be fantastic, as you say, James, to see a big European player.
It looks like Milan will win the league now, I think.
Well, yeah, 3 points behind them.
But that 12-game unbeaten run they had before they lost to Palermo, it's done it for them. Napoli are in good form, but I mean, I just can't see them doing it.
I would love to see Napoli win it.
No, I think I would as well.
But they'll be in the Champions League next season, and it'll be amazing to see how they do. See if they can, how much they strengthen, you know,
great.
If they hang on to Cavani.
Well, he's only on loan, remember?
Exactly, yeah.
They can sign him permanently. Macaroni scored for Sampdoria.
Oh,
Massimo Macaroni.
Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Middlesbrough fame.
He Do you remember when Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank said something like he's the best player I've ever played with or something?
Did he?
When Macaroni was amazing in their run to the Over Cup final. Do you remember that?
He scored a great goal for the Italian under-21s against England under-21s.
That's right.
Macaroni sounds like a fictional sort of Italian import you might get in something like Striker.
Of Roy the Romans.
Thing. But he's actually a real man.
Another one who was a Middlesbrough youth team player who was meant to be amazing, or a young player they signed, was, I think his name was Marianelli or something. He was Argentinian. And when Gazza, he was there when Gazza was there, and Gazza said, he's unbelievable skill, he's going to be amazing.
I was watching him and there were two of him.
So it didn't happen. Leonardo said that he would have sacked himself after Inter's last two results.
They won.
They
beat Chievo.
He was talking about
After the Milan
and
the derby, yeah,
and
okay.
the Champions League.
Yeah, of course.
Keep that to yourself.
Don't. It's Italy. You don't give anyone a second invitation.
Don't encourage anyone.
Yeah,
except your players.
A manager who has been sacked though is Louis van Gaal. We're off to the Bundesliga now. No longer in charge of Bayern Munich.
He was leaving anyway.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the season.
It's a bit of a strange.
They used really odd language, didn't
they? Kick him while he's down, I reckon.
What did they say?
It was something just like they've
the balls for this.
Allowed him to take leave or something like that. It's just really it means sacking, but just in a really inappropriate
a way.
Yeah. Do you think he whipped his balls out again?
I'd like to think so.
It was unmutual consent.
Mm.
I think they've sacked him because they're worried they're not going to get in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And I think they did this with Klinsmann, didn't they, a season or two ago, however long it was.
For a club like Bayern to not get in the Champions League is...
Oh, but they're third, aren't they? Third or fourth?
I'm not sure. I think they want someone to come in and that initial boost that you perhaps sometimes get from a new manager. To try and get them over the Champions League.
I think there's more to it than that. I think Van Gaal had sort of grown stale there from what I've seen.
Well, they've obviously thought, we're going to get rid of him at the end of the season, but we're not waiting that long. Off you pop.
He's one of those people who's a stern disciplinarian, and when that starts to go bad, sort of almost like most clubs he's been at, it makes the club seem like they're going nowhere. Do you know what I mean? It just sort of drives them into a rut, and I believe it's very much the same with Van Gaal at Bayern.
Well, yeah. There we are. Dortmund, who have been flying high all season, really, they're only 5 points in front of Bayern Leverkusen.
Yeah, they were absolutely flying at one point.
To me, they've been 12
they?
Points the whole season. It's been incredible.
But it's...
The last five games, they've dropped all sorts of points.
Yeah.
Well, they dropped 7 points from their last five games. Which, for some clubs, that wouldn't be too bad. But
Leverkusen have won high standards early on, didn't they?
Leverkusen have won the last five.
Yeah, they beat St. Pauli, didn't they?
They did.
St. Pauli have lost seven in a row.
Oh. St. Pauli are in trouble. They're second from bottom.
Only two go down that league, don't they?
They do, yeah. And it looks like it'll be between them, Mönchengladbach, who are bottom, Wolfsburg and Stuttgart.
Wolfsburg and Stuttgart?
Isn't that mental?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, they were both in the Champions League.
Yeah. Jens' former team, Stuttgart, of course.
It always felt like Jens was on loan to Stuttgart for
me.
Do
you think so?
Yeah.
Well, indeed. Right. Let's go round some other places in Europe. Romania.
Okay. Have you heard?
Have you heard of Marius Samardžija?
No.
Dubbed the Romanian Jose Mourinho.
Oh, go on.
Romarinho doesn't work.
It sort of does.
Sounds like a Brazilian player.
Romarinho.
In fact, I think that's Romario's son's name.
It sounds
arrogant.
Like if Roma had a feeder club in Brazil, that's what it would be called.
Mm. Romarinho, yeah.
Carry on.
Thank you. Yeah. He was celebrating a goal the other week, and he got so into it that he gave the referee a kiss.
That doesn't make him the Romanian Romarinho. It's not easy to say.
Well, no, it's not.
He got a fine £750 for that.
For kissing a referee?
Is there a
kind of homophobia behind it?
Should be encouraged as part of the respect campaign.
Indeed.
This is Romania. Remember those two managers or chairmen when they were calling?
Yes.
Gigi Becali,
quarrelling.
Well, he said, with regards to this, old Marius, he said, I lost it for a moment, but he smelled so good. I know it wasn't normal.
Lovely.
He also said about one of their defenders, Constantine,
he
tried to choke him during training. The manager.
He choked the manager, or the manager choked him?
God.
No, the player tried to choke
like
the manager.
God.
Isn't it just... He said he won't play here again. Sure, I made a joke about his wife, but he's a punk.
is that you?
Favourite quote of the whole season.
That is brilliant.
It's not finished.
As soon as it.
He stinks of beer and smokes. If you go into his room, the smoke is so dense you could leave a bike standing upright, so unsupported. He likes the minibar and uses gum to clean his breath. You know I don't care for him.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
So, yeah. That,
no wonder the bloke hates you.
So, yeah, all eyes on the Romanian league. Well, in particular, that gentleman, Maros Samudica. Right, what else have we got here? Ah, yes, Terek Grozny. Can't stay away from there.
No.
I did love this. They said that, obviously, they want to get as much publicity as possible. Mm. It doesn't matter how tacky or untrue
it is. Is it amazing to you, boys, that Ruud Gullit has gone from being best mates with Nelson Mandela and championing his cause before anyone else did in a sporting sense to basically working for a warlord?
Yeah, and proper like pallying up to him as
well. They've come out with this and they said that Zinedine Zidane will open their new stadium. They said that
he's a gun for hire as well, Zidane. I'm starting to get a bit annoyed about
Hang on a minute. Mm. They said, we hope the great Platini will come to Grozny, but Zidane has already confirmed his participation. When Zidane was asked about this, he went, well, obviously I'm not going to be at this event.
Great stuff.
That's so good.
It's obviously. That's the worst bit. That's a dagger to the heart.
Did you really need to ask me?
Imagine if you invited like a really cool bloke to one of your parties and then someone asked if he was going and he went, didn't only go, I'm not going. He went, well, obviously I'm not going. That's even worse. Much worse.
There should be a button for that on Facebook.
Yeah.
For events.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously not attending.
Excellent. Now, I thought I'd slip this story in while Pete's not here.
Are you coming? Obviously not.
There's a new octopus in town.
Ooh.
Slip it in just while Pete's not around.
Bit of sea news.
It's from the Ukraine in Kiev, one of the aquariums in Kiev. His name is Pavlik the Octopus. Pavlik being Slavic for Paul.
All right.
See what they've done there? And he'll be all in time, groomed up for Euro 2012.
Oh, it's not needed.
Oh, God, this is never going to end.
This is not something you plan a year before. Anyway, just do it the day before.
Can't be, hang on. If that one works out, they'll do it in Brazil as well, and it'll just keep happening. It'll become one of those...
The fact that they've announced this so early is sort of implying there's some sort of training involved.
Well, funny you say that, Link. Oh, because Viktor Zelenko, who's the aquarium's director, said the octopus's name is Pavlik and the staff of the aquarium will teach him to see into the future, like the German octopus, Paul.
If they know how to do that, why do they work in an aquarium?
Why are they using an octopus?
Why are they not down the bookies?
You're the dolphin. It's the most intelligent animal we're knocking about. Yeah, exactly. That's what they keep saying.
Get a man to do it. Get a pundit.
To climb in one of the boxes.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it, if they made all the pundits on the BBC and ITV over the World Cup climb into boxes to predict who was going to win, not the World Cup, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That would be great. I mean, don't use an octopus. Use a dolphin.
That would be more difficult to get them in the box. Or hoops you could jump through.
Because the dolphins are so intelligent, they'd be really chippy. Because that's what it says.
Yeah, but they maybe call you bluff and go, well, they were just teaching you shouldn't gamble.
See, I worry about this because I wonder going to become so commonplace that they just do away with the games altogether.
Just
have octopuses sitting in boxes for the World Cup.
To ease
fixture congestion.
England would have a chance.
I was going
to
say,
actually, maybe to ease fixture congestion, if there's a point where there's too many games, both clubs can go, all right, look, we've both got too many games on, let's invoke our octopus card.
Yeah.
And you could just have one game a season that's predicted by octopus.
I think that's an excellent idea. Also,
it's not predicted, it's decided.
Well, yeah, of course.
Now, in tournaments, we've tried to find other solutions to penalty shootouts.
Yeah.
And you know, like back in the day, maybe you'd flip a coin or go in corners.
Yeah.
After extra time, you bring the octopus out.
Yeah.
And that's it. Bang. Sealed.
Just
done.
Like, drop it out of a helicopter, whichever side of the pitch it lands on.
We cannot continually have a go at Sepp Blatter. And entertain these sort of things.
Well, anyway, apparently he predicted that Barcelona would win against Shakhtar. So he's
off. Sticking his neck out.
He's sticking his beak out.
He's off to a good start. That's all I'm going to say on that. Now
very,
then,
very risk-free cephalopod.
We need to get away from this nonsense and go to Brazil, the land of the sane. Now, did you see that Neymar was sent off after celebrating a goal he scored and put a mask on of himself?
Yeah, it was out of the crowd though, wasn't it, the mask?
Oh, was it really?
Someone had thrown it onto the pitch, but he put it on upside down, so he was wearing a mask of his own upside down face. Really quite odd.
Poses more questions than it answers.
It does. Harsh sending off.
Indeed.
And I don't think that's a bad thing that he did that. I'd definitely do that.
Yeah.
If someone threw a mask with my face at me when I just scored a goal, it's the only thing I'd think of. I'm sure both of you would do the same.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd probably get it right.
I'd put it up, I must my say, shirt up the neck so it looked like I had two heads.
That's an interesting one. or put it on the back of your head and just play with it.
Well, actually, there are a lot of farmers in India, specifically north India, where they have tigers still, and tiger will only ever attack you
still?
From behind. Yeah, because tigers are dying out, Marcus. Not sure
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I do. But, well, no, we don't need to encourage that.
They've still got them anyway.
We're not encouraging it.
But they put masks on the back of their heads to stop tigers attacking them. So, because the tiger then it confuses the tiger and thinks it's still facing it.
Tigers are cowards, is what we've learned from this.
You could do that.
I was wearing a Boris Johnson mask on the weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Stag do.
Ah, right.
Good fun. Leave Bojo alone. Now, Cafu. Former Brazilian international Cafu.
I saw this. You can talk about the Lego tower.
He was playing with Lego.
Yeah. It's an amazing tower.
I saw the tower. I didn't know Cafu was involved.
Yeah, he put the final brick on.
Oh, God.
Come on, what do you mean? That's brilliant.
It is brilliant, but it's just... I wish these things happened here.
Yeah.
What about James May's Lego house?
James May's not as good as Cafu.
No, it's true.
I saw that Lego house since
you
then.
You can imagine if you said to him, what are you going to do after you retire from the game? Like, go into telly, like, manage, let's build a massive Lego tower.
I'm only doing the last block. I think I've proven I'm good.
I'll get others to do the rest.
It was 100 feet tall.
No, it's more than that, wasn't it? It was like 100 metres, I think.
Oh.
Very tall. It was a world record for a Lego tower.
100-something units of measurement.
Hmm. How did Cafu get up there?
There was a crane, like a cherry picker style crane.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But it was like there was Brazilian flags that it was carefully made. It wasn't just coloured. It wasn't just knocked together, James.
No. Choreographed.
It was almost like
no ramshackle Lego tower for Brazil.
Yeah, exactly. So he was up there. Also in Brazil, or in South America, Brazil won the South American under-17 title, beating Argentina in the final 3-2.
Oh, they'll enjoy that.
Oh,
jinx.
And there it is. I think that's time for emails.
Ooh, hello.
Emails.
Good.
I've got an email.
That's lucky, because it's the email section.
Yeah, I'm going to read this out as it's written. Oh! Capitals in the middle.
Oh.
Stig Tofting is enjoying a second career as a celebrity boxer in Denmark.
So he should be. This is the ex-Danish international footballer.
Yeah,
you can't
crazy,
just be
it?
A celebrity boxer without having at least one other celebrity boxer.
Well, listen, you're going to enjoy this.
All right.
Ex-con Tofting has had one fight so far, and he beat the bloke who did the line, "Come on, Barbie, let's go party," in Aqua's song Barbie Girl, one punch knockout. Good. Keep up the magical rambling, Mr. George Salmon.
That's amazing.
Short, sweet, to the point.
That's really
great,
good.
Isn't it?
So he actually...
Glad someone finally belted him.
This is like that Ricky Gervais Grant Bovey style celebrity boxing match, which Gervais
won. What is that
won,
guy getting in the ring for?
With Stig Tofting.
Stig Tofting's hard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, remember him and Gravison?
He's not far off an actual boxer.
Yeah.
Him and Gravison were a very tough prospect.
Imagine Rooney getting in the ring with him.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
He'd get punished.
No, Rooney's decent.
Oh, Rooney was an amateur boxer,
wasn't he?
Oh, yeah,
he was. Yeah, true. Anyway, I've got an email as well.
Oh, go on, then.
It says... Dear Ramblers, I'm a keen Newcastle fan and have been ever since I discovered just how much I like football.
Is this Pete?
It's not Pete, I think. It's from Jack Franklin. On my 10th birthday, I received a weird card. It had, in black marker pen, "To a Newcastle fan" on the front. As I was opening it, I was warned by my father to be very careful. The card was a Newcastle one, black and white stripes with the crest laid on top, and read as follows. "To Jack, wishing you a happy birthday from Bobby Robson."
Ah,
B-Rob.
Eh? That's right, I had a birthday card from the late, great Sir Bobby. I was shell-shocked and amazed. I wanted to take it to school and show everyone, but of course I wasn't allowed. It was too precious. My parents told me they sent a parcel with 10 to 15 cards into Newcastle with a letter explaining the situation and just asking anyone who had a spare moment to sign for me. Out of every player and staff member at the club, just one of them could be bothered. Sir Bobby. It wasn't a fake, a photocopy signature or anything like that. It was the real thing, and it still brings a smile to my face every time I think about it. Keep up the good rambling, Ramblers. Thanks, Jack Franklin.
Superb stuff.
Yeah, well done.
Nice to get a mention of Sir Bob every so often.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the matter with the other lot not signing it?
Well, you know, it would...
Busy life football.
It would take away from how brilliant Bobby Robson is.
I heard Kieran Dyer tried to sign, but I broke his hand.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Oh, hello.
You didn't give me a choice there. No. And I like being told what to do.
Yeah, you enjoy being dominated from what I've heard.
That's enough of that. Right then, good people, we've got a club to go in there. It's a whole team, can you believe it?
Brilliant.
Vasco da Gama.
Hello.
Brazilian. Named after the Portuguese explorer.
I like that.
Correct.
Yeah. I like the idea of just naming a club after a bloke.
Yeah.
Be good.
Jim FC.
Robert Downey Jr. against, I don't know, Marcus Speller.
All right.
Why not? I like his name.
Fair enough.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I'd rather play for Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, well,
it'd just be, it'd be more interesting.
You've never played with him.
That's true, actually, yeah.
You know what you're getting with Speller.
Yeah, thank you very much, James. Right, it's indeed the name of a very successful Portuguese explorer.
First man to sail to India or something like that.
From Europe to India, yeah. Mm. His protege would go on to locate Brazil.
There we go. Mm.
There it is.
There's your link.
Well, I could do that.
Indeed. Now, the club was founded on August the 21st, 1898.
69 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah. We're all racy.
Yeah.
One of the most supported clubs in Brazil, and they're nicknamed Gigante da Colina, Giant of the Hill.
Nice.
They were founded by Portuguese immigrants, of course. Initially a rowing club.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of football clubs, especially in Spain as well, a lot of those places have different sports, volleyball teams.
Bayern Munich have a chess club as well.
Roller hockey. There's loads of stuff happens.
Handball.
Handball teams, yeah.
Well, I think Barcelona and Madrid both have basketball teams.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know how sort of furiously competitive they are with each other in that sport. I hope.
It's great to see.
They must be.
You know, Sheffield Wednesday was founded as a cricket team as well, wasn't it? That's what they call Wednesday, because they play cricket on the weekends, so they used to play a game on the Wednesday. Something like that.
No, I think it was because the local workers were given the Wednesday off.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Or something.
Sheffield Wednesday fans emailing.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct us.
But back to Vasco. So 1898 they were founded, of course, but it wouldn't be until the 1920s until they were playing in the top league. And they hit the ground running, really. They were the only side to field players from different ethnic and social backgrounds, as the directors of the club would choose players from local suburban leagues, which the other teams didn't do. This was pretty much due to racism and elitism, effectively. Mm. And there was a rule in place, incredible really, there was a rule in place which meant players had to have another source of income if they wanted to play. This was, again, to keep the players down to the elite and exclude minority players. So to get around this, the Portuguese community would give them jobs in their shops.
Nice.
Some of the players.
Coming together there.
In your face, racism.
Yeah, exactly.
Have that.
But Vasco
from
were
Portugal with love.
Vasco were the first team to have black players and poor players in their teams.
Racism never wins. No. It always gets beaten.
Yeah. So if we've got any racists listening, just fuck off now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop what you're doing.
Agreed. You'll lose.
So Vasco were promoted to Rio's first division in 1923. And of course they won the league straight away. That was with the black, white and players from poorer neighbourhoods and all the rest of it. And the big clubs, namely Botafogo, Fluminense and Flamengo, they didn't like this. So in 1924, a year later, they formed their own league, saying that Vasco...
Oh, you're off.
That's basically just taking the ball away, isn't it?
Yeah.
They formed their own league so Vasco couldn't enter with their black players and their poor players.
So Vasco won their league again then?
Yeah. Vasco was so popular, though, they were eventually allowed in, though the rules were set up to exclude the uneducated players.
Yeah, I've been reading the Alex Belos book, which is called Football, The Brazilian Way of Life.
Yeah,
and he writes a little bit around this, about this. And I think it was something that... They had these really silly little rules, like a player had to be able to sign his own name. So Vasco were in a position where they had to sort of send their players off to learn to read and write and stuff like that. I think there are even cases where they changed players' names just so they were easier for them to sign. It's just incredible.
Well, they're basically trying to trip them up at every thing.
With admin.
Yeah.
Which is a lot nicer than some sort of racism, but still...
This is 1920s. You can imagine that the team took a really good, we need to sort something out here. No, I've got an idea. Pass me the paperwork.
But as you said, this is a real case of taking the ball and going home. Yeah. Oh, we've got our league, we're having a good time. Who are these idiots? Oh, they've beaten us. Right, change the league.
Yeah,
no, you can't come in.
Which is what sort of what the Premier League did to Pompey last season, if you think about it.
If you think about it and add some facts.
Make stuff up.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, I mean, these rules, thanks to Vasco da Gama, were broken. They wouldn't comply with them, and they beat racism. They beat the teams. And significant.
On a more serious point, I mean, you know, Brazil, I know there are players in the Brazilian national side from all different backgrounds, but you'd be isolating and ruling out quite a lot of good talent over the years if that rule had stayed in place.
Well, definitely. Well,
and it's not just the black players as well, is it? It's the poorer players.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't read and write.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, all the Portuguese immigrants that have gone there wouldn't be of the ruling classes, so to speak. But yeah, it's a hugely significant moment in the history of Brazilian football, so they could fully develop and develop into what we've come to know over the years of Brazilian football, of course. Now, well, let's fast forward to the 40s, which I think we'll all wanting to do. Vasco, between 1945 and 1952, won 5 state championships. Now, the state championships, they might not mean as much today. Well, they don't. But back in the day, they were the big business because they didn't have the league structure, which we've mentioned before.
League structure didn't come until, I think, the 70s.
Yeah. So this was effectively the league, really. This was the one for them, the state championships. They were the big prize, extremely important. So to win 5 in 7 years was
great stuff.
In 1948, they won the South American Championships, which was the pre-runner to the Copa Libertadores. So they were the first club side ever to become South American champions, which is some tale. And during this period of dominance, the side became known as O Expresso da Victoria, the Victory Express.
Nice.
All a fucking board.
That is amazing.
Yeah, great name.
That is a side you don't want to come up against.
No. So what are they called? They're called the Victory Express.
Oh, I've injured myself in the warm-up.
Is that a hamstring?
That is sensational stuff. They were described as a devastating attacking machine supported by the strictest of defences. You don't want to come up against them.
No, you don't.
I think their midfield was rubbish, though.
Yeah.
I
think defence would give you detention.
If I was one of those elitist tossers, I'd be like, oh, son, I'm going back to Portugal. between 1958 and 1970, the team didn't win the state championship. But when they did, they got again going again in the 70s. The side became known as O Time de Virada, the comeback team.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I like how they got all these little names. And they boasted a talented striker called Roberto Dinamite.
Oh, it's Robert Dynamite.
Yeah, his name is spells Dynamite.
He's their all-time leading scorer. I don't know about him. Yeah,
he is.
Absolutely prolific.
And currently the president of Vasco da Gama, which is a nice one, I think.
Was he like a really prominent politician?
He was,
for a bit as well. He scored more goals than Romario.
698 goals he got for Vasco. in all competitions.
Robert Dynamite, Jim. That's his name.
That's brilliant.
He scored 61 goals during one season in the early 80s. That was in all competitions.
The early 80s?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know there was a couple of seasons where Pele got over 100 goals, but that was when there were loads of games and they were really high scoring. But the 80s?
It's quite funny because he's the all-time top scorer in the Brazilian League and the Rio State Championships. I think he's got 190 or something in the Brazilian League. And you think to yourself, surely there must be... You know, you would have expected him to get a little bit more. But as you say, the league was only around until the 70s. Yeah. And a lot of players, the good players, will move on.
And they also, in fairness, just in interest of a bit of balance, when they play these state championships and these games in the locality, they do play like a lot of... It's a weird one. It's like the FA Cup. They can play teams from all levels.
So
sometimes they end up banging a whole load of goals. That's probably why. But, I mean, 700 odd goals is still... whatever it was, 698 is still a lot of goals.
I went to the semi-final and the first leg of the final of the Rio State Championships.
In the Americana,
it's just a big party.
Yeah,
nobody's that fussed. Yeah. You know. Well, I think the players are, but the fans. Yeah, it was brilliant. Now, let's press that fast forward button again to 1998.
Oh, they won the Copa Libertadores, didn't
they? The centenary season.
Ah, that's brilliant. You could make
that's
it
a massive deal in
it
Brazil
is.
As well, isn't it?
It really is. Because Corinthians tried to put a lot of money and effort into doing it, and then they're.
So they started signing all sorts of players, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
That's brilliant.
And who did they have up front for them?
The Animal.
Edmundo. Edmundo James.
God.
Every week James goes, can we go Edmundo?
This is around the sort of time when they played in the World Club Championship.
2 years later in the year 2000.
Against United. And remember Becker got sent off against the Mexican side in the Cactus.
Yeah. Yes.
And Edmundo scored a great goal in that.
The Animal.
For Vasco.
For Vasco. They destroyed United. They went 3-0 up. I mean, I think the first two goals were Romario. Romario and Edmundo up front.
Yeah. God. And a drunk monkey on the sideline.
What have you got to say to that? Romario, I think, scored 2. I think he got the first 2. And they were defensive mistakes, really. But, like, United were getting absolutely bossed by Vasco. And it was ridiculous. Yeah. Well, because we'd never seen Brazilian football, really. Or any teams, massively. And you think, oh, United are the big boys. You know, 99, they won the treble, they turn up. Mm. Bang, they got hammered.
Edmundo scored a great one.
It was really worth YouTubing that goal. And who, the co-commentator that day, happened to be a certain Craig Brown, who described that goal. And I kid you not, he described the goal as the best goal he's ever seen.
A Pete Donaldson towel.
But then there was the other goal, and the other goal, and the other goal.
Romario's goal, and then he changed it to... absolutely stunning. They lost in the final, incidentally, to Corinthians on penalties. But it was a big deal for Vasco and Brazilian football to be hammering United like that in front of the world.
But when they won the Libertadores, they beat a Colombian team, didn't they? Was it a Colombian team? I think they beat Barcelona.
That's Ecuador.
Ecuador,
who I've also seen play. Actually.
Have you? Okay, yeah. Named after the Spanish team, of course.
Guayaquil, Barcelona.
Mm. We do mention this a fair bit, but it is a shame that the sort of the World Club Championship is. It's just like there isn't more time to make it bigger. Do you know what I mean?
In the
schedule somewhere. Yeah, yeah. It would be great if there was a proper tournament between European and South American clubs. Mm. And so, you know, from all over, really. But at the moment, those, you know, would be by far and away the strongest.
Yeah, absolutely. And bring back the Cup Winners' Cup, were you there?
Yeah.
Now, in the year 2000, when they won the league as well, so it was a good year for them, they had a forward line which included Romario, Juninho Paulista,
formerly
of Middlesbrough, and Juninho Pernambucano.
Oh, I didn't realise they played together.
Yeah.
La 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 la. Pernambucano.
La 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 la.
Legends. Absolute legends.
In 2002, the Travel Channel undertook a study to see what the best stadiums in the world were to watch a game. They picked seven, and Vasco's São Januário was in there, alongside the Camp Nou and the San Siro.
I think that was the biggest stadium in Brazil until they built the Maracanã.
I think it was, yeah.
I think that was another thing that actually they did in the early days that Alex Belos mentions in his book, which was that was another thing. It's like, right, well, you've got to have a stadium, which is another thing to try and hinder them. So they just built a massive one.
Yeah. Have some of that.
Yeah. Is that any good?
Wait a minute. That's taking us all weekend.
The cigarette falls out of his mouth. Go, oh, bloody hell.
Can we play that? No.
Yeah.
Now then, all those things about Vasco. The important stuff. I think we're all agreed. It all pales off into insignificance. What I'm about to tell you. Because more importantly than all those things is the fact, and I say fact in the loosest possible sense, Romario scored his 1,000th goal whilst playing for Vasco da Gama against Recife.
In the game?
In his mind.
It was a penalty. Or a penalty, as they say in Brazil.
Pelucci, I don't know.
Brazilian model. Pelucci. Long!
So they've fought racism, they've built the biggest stadium, they've housed Romario.
They've helped a man lie.
Yeah.
They probably had some input into Edmund, though, getting that monkey drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, they're coming in. It's Vasco da Gama, ladies and gentlemen.
Boys.
One of the most enjoyable profiles in a long while.
In a long while. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. And thefootballramble.com is not only a magnificent website, it has all sorts of blogs and one thing and another going on. James or Jim?
It does, doesn't it? Should we have a little roundup?
Come on then, Oswald. Yeah.
Jim, who is also me, imagines life under Crunker at Arsenal. Eric Beard puts his wonderful name on a piece examining the retirement of shirt numbers within the game. And Chris Mann examines Real Madrid as their season gets serious. Andy Brassel reports on the chaos of the Benfica versus Porto that eventually saw Porto leave as champions. James Appel looks at newly promoted Volga's exhilarating start to life in the Russian Premier League while also gushing about Georgian wine. And Rupert Fryer makes the word continuity seem exciting when writing about Uruguay. Elsewhere, Mikhail Zakodny explains that hooliganism is still a problem in Poland with Euro 2012 looming, and Joel Richards tells us all about a Falklands veteran who's doing the business in the Argentinian Clausura. There we go, get over there, have a look. Footballramble.com.
I've actually read all of those blogs and they're all brilliant.
Thanks.
So, there you go.
You certainly look happier for it.
Yours
enriched.
Included. Yours
you look enriched.
Jim.
Thanks.
And you've got the Dean Windass Hall of Fame section over there. And Pete FC on a Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got Ramble Extra on it, let's not forget. So if you want a little bit more Ramble,
a little bit more Ramble.
There's going to be a lot more Ramble, I would imagine.
Yeah. As if the selection of films wasn't enough.
Mm.
But no. By the way, if you're too busy to look at Pete FC this week, Pete is back next week, so imagine what he's been doing.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be stuff like from all over the US in there, even though he's only been to a small part of it.
But do check it out. It's like the Ramble, but it's shorter and for some reason stupider every time.
Yeah, it is
indeed. And we've got the old episodes up there. Well, about 6 weeks back.
Yeah.
Luke, have you got anything?
I don't actually know. Nothing.
Okay. Well, I'll tell them about Pick Live.
Good idea.
Fantasy football in 5 minutes.
Mm.
The footballramble.picklive.com, where you can win real money from us.
Mm.
You bastards.
From our pockets.
Indeed. Right, I think that's about it for this week. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We're all off to learn how to see into the future. Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.